This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and in the studio with me is Arvind Yuvaraj. And we have a really interesting story today about a fully AI-driven pathologist that can perform efficient blood tests that's coming up later in the show.
Yeah, it's like a really nice story about how three founders were experimenting with AI, but instead of getting into the fintech scene like most people would nowadays, they decided to get into healthcare instead. So we'll talk about that later in the show. But first, we have a story on how Alibaba is actually pushing its offline retail initiatives. Not online, but offline, which is not something you would normally associate with Alibaba.
Yeah, so the Chinese e-commerce giant, they have formed a strategic partnership with the Bailian Group, which is the largest retailer in China by store numbers. And this is with plans to use big data to improve and profit from brick and mortar sales. And this Bailian guys are no joke, man. They've got some 4,700 outlets across 25 provinces, 200 cities and autonomous regions in China. They're huge, like really huge. And this tie-up is big.
Mm-hmm. The deal, which does not include any financial investment in Bailian, is the latest in Alibaba's aggressive efforts to capture a bigger share of the retail market as online sales growth slows. I mean, just take a look at what Alibaba has been up to recently and you'll see that they're trying to kind of even up their efforts with concerns to their offline and online efforts.
Yeah, just on top of my head, Alibaba spent $4.6 billion in a minority stake in appliances retailers Suning Commerce, and then they're also leading the $2.6 billion bid to take over the department store and shopping older operator Intime Retail, and they've also bought a stake in grocery chain Shanjiang Shopping Club.
Yeah, so why the aggressive offline retail push? Well, you've got to understand that the sales trend figures behind this, according to consultancy Bain & Company, China's e-commerce market is expected to average about 18% annually until about 2020, which is decent, right? Mm. But when you realize that this 18% growth compares to an average rate of about 35% over the last 4 years, then the alarm bells start to ring.
And while e-commerce is seeing a phenomenal growth in China, brick and mortar sales still account for some 84% of total retail sales in China last year. So you can't argue with strong figures like that.
Yeah, and so now with this deal with Bailian, both companies will pool their resources and leverage tech to modernize and connect offline retail stores and operations, as well as deliver more effective customer experiences.
Yep, and this will also include overhauling channels, store operations to enable real-time service solutions at physical stores, conducting joint R&D in AI, IoT and big data, implementing geolocation, facial recognition and big data driven sales to improve customer service, and they are using customer insights and supplier channels to improve merchandise selections and reduce costs.
Yeah, and I also read that Alibaba will introduce its online payment service Alipay to Bailian stores, while Bailian payment tools SafePass and Bailian OK card will be integrated with Alipay. It looks like they're working together on all fronts for this.
Indeed, there's quite a bit that we can actually learn from Alibaba. They move really fast, and despite, you know, such a large presence and a large company, they do move like a very, you know, nimble startup. Yeah. And speaking of things that move really fast, our next story is about rockets and space.
Yeah, so here's some really good news for the SpaceX mission that took place yesterday. The company successfully launched a Dragon spacecraft, which is on its way to the International Space Station. That was one thing to celebrate about. And then the other thing is that they successfully landed the first stage of the Falcon 9 rocket in Cape Canaveral. So just some positive news all around for space exploration.
And before we go on, here's a bit of a quick background info on SpaceX. It stands for the Space Exploration Technologies Corporation and is an American aerospace manufacturer and space transport services company founded in 2002 by our hero, Elon Musk. And he's headquartered in California in the United States. And I'm sure all of you have heard the buzzings around the commercial travel over the last few years. And some of, you know, that comes to mind will probably be like, you know, Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic venture. And also, you know, other rumblings are from the SpaceX SpaceX program.
Yeah, and with these two successful missions, we're actually one step closer to realizing that dream of commercial space travel.
Yeah, go, you know, that imagine, right, going online, booking tickets to space, the same way we book, you know, AirAsia tickets to, or, you know, like movie tickets and stuff, right? So the future does look very interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the weather was cloudy on the day of the missions, but it wasn't enough to stop the SpaceX from launching their Falcon 9 rocket, which took off from the Space Kennedy Center Launch Complex 39A.
Yeah, and you know why this this launch is so symbolic? Because that same launch complex, the Kennedy Space Center Complex 39A, is the same one used by the Apollo 11 mission to send the first humans to the moon and back in 1969. And the last time the launch complex was used was in 2001 for a space shuttle launch.
Yeah, that's some space trivia for all of you listening. Basically, just 8 minutes after the initial Falcon 9 takeoff, the first stage successfully landed at Cape Carnival. And then meanwhile in space, the Dragon spacecraft was separated from the Falcon and deployed its solar panels, and it's now going to orbit the Earth for a couple of days before it gets closer to the International Space Station.
Yeah, and just in case you're wondering, the spacecraft is carrying about 5,500 pounds of supplies for the astronaut currently in space.
We'll cover more stories from SpaceX as they grow and they get more active with their launches. We're going to take a short break, but don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we'll talk about how there's a fully AI-driven pathologist that can give you fast and accurate results without the human error. I actually wanted to play the Apollo 13 song from Aerosmith, but I kind of missed the cue at the moment. So we're going to play with Red Hot Chili Peppers, We Can't Stop, BFM 89.9. And you're still listening to me, Jeff Sandu, together with Arvind Yuvarajan on the Enterprise Biz Bytes. And we mentioned this at the top of the program. We have a story on a company that's using AI to accurately read blood samples and also give faster and more accurate results to patients.
Yeah, so this story actually broke about a week ago, but we didn't run it because we wanted to do some a bit of research and get some info on it first. But it's actually a very interesting story on how artificial intelligence is making big changes to the healthcare sector. So basically, the World Health Organization, or WHO, requires a pathologist to spend at least 20 minutes examining a smear on a slide under a microscope to rule out malaria or anything caused by parasites. But pathologists are not immune to human error or distraction, so you can imagine how wrong diagnosis can happen, which is very dangerous for the patient. And that's where AI comes in to remove the human error and effectively diagnose the problem.
Yep, and this is what the startup, it's called SickTuple, what they are doing. It's an AI startup that's based in India, which uses computer vision and AI, and recently announced a Series A fundings of $5.8 million. And this is the largest investment in a healthcare AI startup from India, and it will help the company branch out to a global reach.
Yeah, and this whole venture has basically happened because of the negative reports about the nanoprick blood testing firm Theranos in Silicon Valley, and how patients exposed that the results were faulty. So SickTuple's first product was actually for blood tests, and they would get asked about Theranos all the time. That's why they decided to use the same tests and slides for examination and diagnosis as pathologists do, because it automates the process for a more consistent and faster results.
Yeah, so the first step is to actually digitize the slide. So what SickTuple did was they attached mechanical components and a smartphone to a regular microphone, and then they took the phone that does the auto scan of the slides. After that, SickTuple's AI takes over by classifying and also tagging the visual data. The selling factor here is that it doesn't just give you the results or tell you that there are many parasites in the blood samples, but it can actually visually show you the scan of the blood sample itself.
Yeah, and this is good because AI has become such a buzzword that many startups attach the word, even if it's just normal data analytics going on in the back end. It can be hard to verify how much of the number crunching is basically done by a human. But SickTuple is apparently true AI because it deals with images and video and not numerical data. Even a layman can see the self-learning AI engine at work as it learns and classifies and tags various elements in that image.
Yeah, and the company was actually founded by people who really know what they're doing. The three founders worked together at American Express Big Data Lab in Bangalore, and that's when they started experimenting with AI, but instead of fintech, which was, you know, the mainstream choice, they decided to choose healthcare. The whole idea of, you know, huge amounts of images and videos, you know, got them excited, and they also choose pathology because the images were not digitized, which means Sick Tuple has a good head start over, you know, fields like radiology.
Yeah. So right now the company has partnered with some hospitals and diagnostic labs to supply visual data to feed its AI engine so that it can learn how to decide to decode what it's seeing. At the same time, they're running pilot programs in 17 medical institutions to validate its AI products as well.
Yeah, and there was even an early experiment with a panel of pathologists who agreed to try out the product, and after a comparison of results, such as the hemoglobin count, they found that the AI count was almost identical with those of the traditional, you know, more time-consuming methods.
Yeah, so coming back to the money, how exactly will this investment help Sick Tuple? Well, just to kick things off, Sick Tuple has partnered with a microscope manufacturer to produce the modified smartphone-attached devices in larger numbers, so that's one big step forward. The bigger ambition is to go global. For this, its product will require US FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration, approval. But the company is optimistic because a US startup called Arteries, which uses medical imaging and AI to help doctors diagnose heart problems, just got the green light from the FDA recently.
Yeah, we all know the main challenge is actually the adoption of AI technology in healthcare, which is more sensitive than fields like, you know, e-commerce or even fintech. But it does have huge potential for social impact, especially in countries like India, which is struggling for medical resources for such a large population. And they especially need things like Sick Tuple that are, you know, quick and efficient, and most of all, 1/10 of the cost of a manual checkup. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we'll take a super quick break, but when we come back, we've got a story on how Xiaomi is now expanding its global footprint. Stick around, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Jeff and Arvin. So yesterday, we ran a story on how Chinese smartphones are making some serious gains in the Malaysian market. And today we have a story of how one of those Chinese brands is now moving into a brand new territory to dominate more markets worldwide.
Yeah, so long story short, Xiaomi has restarted its global expansion plans and announced today that it will be launching in Pakistan, which is the sixth most populous country in the world. And this is a bit weird because there were months and months of rumors about Xiaomi moving into Pakistan, but Xiaomi kept officially denying it until they surprised everyone with this big announcement.
Yeah, maybe they just want to kept it secret from, you know, a potential competitor. Mm-hmm. Well, I have no idea. But, you know, a bit of a background on Xiaomi. They launched in China in 2011, and then they slowly started expanding to other countries, focusing mainly on Southeast Asia, India, parts of Middle East, and also even in Brazil in 2015, which was their biggest entry before this new Pakistan launch. And they're actually coming to Pakistan through a distribution partnership the same way they did in Brazil.
Yeah, they're actually teaming up with Rocket Internet's e-commerce marketplace called Daraz, which is present in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in Myanmar, and in Sri Lanka. So you can see why this partnership makes the most sense, because they have such a wide footprint in all these neighboring regions. But there's actually still a bit of secrecy about Xiaomi's presence in Pakistan because they're not saying if their full range of products will reach the country or not. Right now, they announced only about three models, which are the Mi Max, the Mi Max, the Redmi Note 4, and the Redmi 4A, which I guess is a smart choice because Pakistan is still leaning towards smartphones, but still has about a 60-40 flip phone to smartphone ratio. And they've had Chinese smartphone brands like Huawei and Oppo there for a few years already with celebrity endorsements. So maybe Xiaomi is just testing the market before it goes full swing.
If you think about it, Xiaomi might face a problem when it comes to the offline online sales. Most shopping in Pakistan still are offline, and the e-commerce sector is estimated to be around $50 million. So unless Xiaomi puts in phones in actual brick and mortar retail stores, it might be difficult to make the impact over there. Don't get me wrong though, Pakistan is progressing fast. They are smart smartphones, you know, by introducing a million 3G and 4G connections each month. But a huge percentage of the population is still offline. So that might be a bit of a problem for Xiaomi. But you know what? If you want to bet against anyone who's going to change this, you bet on a Chinese company to do this. And you know, Xiaomi, they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So
we're
just going to wait and see. And we'll obviously give you all the report when it comes out. Now it's time to wrap up today's Biz Bytes. At the start of the show, we talked about Alibaba's expansion in the brick and mortar sector with their new strategic partnership with the Bailian Group, which is the largest retailer in China by store numbers. And there's nothing stopping Alibaba at this moment. Another Chinese company.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a historic day yesterday for SpaceX that has successfully landed its first stage Falcon 9 rocket at Cape Canaveral and also launched a Dragon spacecraft that's now on its way to the International Space Station. Just simply awesome news for the science and space geeks out there.
Yeah, and in India, a tech startup that uses computer vision and AI announced a Series A funding of $5.8 million, making this the largest investment in the healthcare AI from India, and they've got a really good startup story anyways.
And in Pakistan, Xiaomi has now finally entered the sixth most populous country in the world, ending months of speculation. Now coming up at 12:30 is the Breakfast Grill replay. Young Hyun Kim, the CEO of CJ Wow Shop, was on the hot seat with Melissa Idris. Last year, Media Prima entered a joint venture with Korean-based CJO Shopping to create CJ Wow Shop, making their foray into the home shopping business here in Malaysia. So how are they planning to capture the Malaysian market? We'll find out next.
Yep, this has been the Enterprise Biz Bytes. That was Arvin and my name is Jeff Sandu. And if you missed any parts of the show or any show here on BFM, you can get the app. It's on your Apple phones or your Android phones. And there are fewer bugs on the app today than it was yesterday. And tomorrow it will be even better. So, you know, keep those feedbacks coming in if you're downloading the app. This has been the Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.